Our study health service research team, she just mentioned Dr. Pope, the long list, and I'm Bertha North Lee, the study coordinator, and Leonard Igeti, who's the eternalist, and Boyd Davis, who is at the University of North Carolina in Charlotte, is the applied linguistic. And there's no relationship to disclose. The material used for this support is the resources we use at the Ralph H. Johnson Medical Center in Charleston, South Carolina, and the guidance of the R&D office and the REAP. The funding support was provided through the VA HSR&D merit, and the title for our research project was The Racial Variation in Communication, Decision-Making, and Diabetes Outcome. The views expressed in this presentation are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the views of the
federal employees.
The Veterans Affairs. And our special thanks go to the veterans and the primary care team who participated in this recording. We have two objectives, and we try to describe the objective in communication practice in the chronic disease and provider-patient interaction that provides opening and barriers, prevention message, and compare ways in communicating health information and responding to cultural clues with older adults that may contribute to our racial variation engagement and understanding. And we asked question, and what is the adequacy of our primary preventive health service and counseling offered to people with chronic disease such as diabetes? And the prevention and management of diabetes and prevention of complications. And we use the guideline in community preventive service and to create a checklist of the most evidence-based primary prevention topic to help with the health advisory, and such as tobacco cessation and diabetes disease management, case management, and diabetes self-management. And our two research method is the content analysis and the discourse analysis and the stance analysis. And in our content analysis is what is said, and our discourse is how things are said, and our stance is the position people take in talk. Back up. Yeah. Okay, and our sample for the study was we took 200 veterans with type 2 diabetes and recording with their primary provider at the clinic appointments, an analysis of the racial variation in communication, shared decision-making, and diabetes outcome in one medical center at the Veterans Affairs Health System, and the study lasts from 2008 to 2011.
So from that larger sample, we decided to categorize what preventive health messages veterans with diabetes get. And we chose 40 veterans, and the way we took them is 20 with the best A1Cs and 20 with the worst A1Cs as measures of diabetes control. And if you'll look at the small box at the bottom, you'll see that we took the means for the folks in the high A1Cs and low A1Cs, and blacks consistently had higher A1Cs, no matter whether you were looking at best control or worse control. This is an equal access VA system where everybody has one-stop shopping for all the services they need. So this isn't about access to care. We wanted to look at the discourse patterns that act as facilitators and barriers when primary care providers have discussions about primary prevention when people have a chronic disease. There are two basic finding slides. This is the first one. And so the sense was that most of the prevention messaging went around secondary and tertiary prevention. As you look across the slide, you'll see that people got information about weight, eating, activity, blood pressure, and cholesterol. But only a quarter of this small sample received diabetes-specific prevention education, which is not a good sign about the way we deliver primary care in this country. Now, a certain pattern began to emerge. If you look at the last two bars where there are blacks with better and worse A1Cs, the black veterans with the worst the poorest diabetes control receive the least amount of instruction about preventing complications. Okay, so this is a small sample. We have the larger sample that we'll publish soon, but this is a pattern that should disturb everybody. Now, this is the pattern that bothers me as a public health professional the most. We wanted to show you what types of typical prevention messaging people with diabetes got, and across the bottom, you'll see this pneumonia, flu, tetanus, colorectal cancer, HIV, STDs, chickenpox, shingles shots, aspirin, alcohol, tobacco, and depression. This came right out of the Guide for Preventive Services. And what you'll see is hardly anybody is getting this advice. And the reality is there aren't any racial variations when everybody is getting less than optimal care. And this slide reminds me of Goffman, the sociologist's discussion about spoiled identities. And chronic disease in this country is an example of a spoiled identity. Once you have it, primary care providers are not paying attention to your primary prevention needs as much as they should. Not to end on a negative note, this is the discourse patterns. So here's a physician who's saying, with your recent surgery, how's your activity level? You've been active? And the veteran says, it's not coming along. And he explains about his neuropathy. And then the primary care provider says, okay, and changes the subject. Now, this is an example of a physician changing from an open-ended to a yes-no question. Yes-no questions deter people from participating in conversation and cut off exchange. Also, health communication experts write about discourse turn markers. And okay sends a subliminal message to the listener. Okay, that means I don't want to talk to you anymore, and I'm changing the subject. And doctors do this all the time. There are lots of articles written about this. But this is called a dropped cue, a chance to talk about activity that actually never happened. And this is another missed opportunity. Here's a doctor explaining that if it wasn't for the person's breathing, they would be doing colonoscopy, but he has chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and he's worried that the sedating him would be a problem. And the veteran said, oh, yeah. And the doctor says, to have problems during the procedure. Now, you could do the procedure without anesthesia. And the veteran says, like hell. And so, but the more important part is not the veteran's response. It's that no alternative was offered to colonoscopy. And so here's a dropped opportunity. And here are two other examples of missed opportunities to ask about psychosocial problems and depression. Any social changes? The veteran says no. Now, there's a lot of ambiguity to that yes-no question, and it's an unvalidated response, and it's very difficult to know what in the world the doctor is asking about. And then the next one is, how are you feeling mentally? The veteran says, great. You know, so there's a lot of ambiguity in this particular type of question, and it's not a depression screen. You know, in the VA, we actually mandate the PHQ-9 at primary care visits. So somewhere in the nurse has administered the PHQ-9, but the provider is not discussing it. So lest you think that we have fallen prey to bad practices in the VA, after we finished this is an emerging discussion across the VA about the need for better health promotion. And lo and behold, I'm one slide off. This is the alternative. These are the best practices. Ronald Epstein has this lovely writing and scale that we use on participatory decision making. And the idea is, if you introduce the patient's agenda, involve them in the discussion, address their areas of uncertainty, identify what the barriers are, use teach-back to make sure they understood what you were talking about, and ask open-ended questions. All the good examples that we have of primary prevention notices use these particular practices. Here's one good example. Here's a doctor who wants to, the only doctor in 40 people who offered anybody a shingles discussion. But he says, your weight's down, that's really good, all right. And he moves on from the positive thing the patient has done to the idea, have you been immunized against shingles yet? And even though that's a yes-no question, he then asks, do you know what shingles are? And builds on that and lets the patient talk and responds to the patient's message. It's not a dropped cue. And he gives him information and then asks what he thinks about it. When the patient's uncertain, he addresses the uncertainty directly and then makes a direct recommendation, and the patient says, yes, I'd like to get the shot. So this is a sort of structured thing. We should give this to all the residents to tattoo on their arm, but this is the way it's supposed to happen. Meanwhile, after all these recordings happened and this big discussion is going on in the VA, the National Center for Health Promotion and Disease Prevention started a national transformational initiative, and it's been going on for a little less than a year. But the essential parts of it are some nine healthy living messages that all the primary care providers are being told we expect to hear in your primary care visits. Oh, am I done?
No,
oh,
the lights went out. So.
I don't know why.
Okay,
I'll keep going. So they now have this thing they call the TEACH framework, and who knows why. The TEACH framework says that patients are supposed, this is actually a training thing that everybody is mandated to take in primary care now. Tune into the patient, explore the patient's concerns, assist with patient behavior changes, communicate effectively, honor the patient as a partner. They chant this in some primary care clinics. So. The nice thing that for us is after all these recordings, we went back and checked 250, we have six outpatient clinics and one large primary care center, 250 health providers in primary care, many of whom we recorded, have now taken this training for better health promotion messaging and more effective communication. So we feel very positive that things are moving forward. We look forward to doing follow-up to find out how people's practices change after this kind of intense training. So the implications for practice of this project is that we really don't pay enough attention to how people promote best practices in communication when they deliver primary prevention messages. And that primary care providers need an audit and feedback loop so that they know what they're doing during their visits. And hopefully these VA transformational initiatives will help us address those things. Thank you.